The life groups, though, are, if I could say, the core of what we're shooting for. And when we say life groups, we're talking about groups that do life together in a balanced way. Well, what's balanced? What's biblically a biblically balanced way? The way we're kind of simple here, and the way we see stuff here, this is my personal life, this is our lives, our individual lives, our marriages, our families, our church, and our life groups. Three priorities in Scripture. The first, a great priority, is the great commandment, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's our great endeavor when we're together and when we're having our individual devotional times and going through life. We want to know God, not what we want God to be, but we truly want to know Him from His Word. And that's why there's such a focus on just that phrase by phrase, verse by verse, in context study. It's to know God. And so the great commandment is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The second great commandment is love one another, love your neighbor. And so we want our groups to have enough interaction, both in the group and outside the group, where folks are truly growing in love for each other. We are commanded to love even our enemy, and we choose to value, to love each other. But the emotional side of that, the relational side of that, is something that has to grow, and that takes time together, and where these folks are interacting with each other. And so the first great priority of a life group is getting to know God so that we're in love with God, so we're trusting Him. Second great priority is growing in love for each other. And that takes some sharing. It's not just going to be a teacher up there lecturing. That's a class. But it's going to be truly interacting over God's Word and applying it together in life. And then the third great priority for a church, for an individual, for a marriage, and for a life group is living the mission. God has given us the Great Commission. And so life groups are going to strategize about how to reach their friends and neighbors who don't yet trust Christ. And so they'll have periodic outings and in doing what they can to invite lost folks into their lives to so that folks can see the gospel and hear the gospel. So love one another. I'm sorry, love God, love one another, live the mission. That's a balanced life. And that's what we want to do together in life groups. Does that make sense? And so every life group is like a family. It's going to be different, and that's the nature of a church, and that's the nature of life groups as well. Let's pray together, and we're going to enter into the sermon outline that you have before you. Father, thank you for these life group leaders. Thank you, Father, for the life group participants as well, and folks in life groups that are helping to lead various aspects of the life group. We pray that you would in every way bless them with great wisdom, with grace, with growing relationships, and a growing knowledge of you, and a growing focus on the lost as well. Pray, Father, that you would work and move in each of our groups, those that we heard from and those not represented here this morning. Father, that you would in every way bless their efforts to live life together in a biblically balanced way. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have to be able to spend time in your Word. And we do pray that as we look at passages together in your Word, that you'd give us insight, understanding, and clarity regarding the application of each of these passages to each one of us, and to our life groups, and to us corporately. In Jesus' name, amen. You have a what we call a sermon outline in your bulletin, and we encourage you to pull one out. It's going to be a list of passages and the actual passages as well. And so it's easy to write, to circle things. I'm going to have you circle underline phrases, circle phrases. Don't sweat it too much. We'll go as far as we go. You know, and those are great passages to read in context. We're using that word context a lot this morning. Context is like anything else. If you want to trash a politician, take him out of context, you can make him or her say anything you want them to say as long as you don't put them in context. Context is the flow of thought from beginning to end of a given letter, and quite frankly, the flow of thought in Scripture overall. So we want to study everything in the flow of thought. Let me begin the official sermon here, all right? That was all by way of just kind of getting our thoughts going. In some ways, life is easier if we don't get involved in other people's lives, if we just stay aloof. In some ways, life is easier if we just kind of stay aloof. And I want you to know at the front end, anybody knows me from childhood that's around here, I'm wired that way. I was kind of going into the whole engineering thing, besides the rock and roll thing, kind of going into the whole, and the surfing thing, whatever. I was going into kind of the engineering thing, technology thing, doing stuff where I could have my cubicle and my toys and instruments, and I didn't have to really interact with other people. You know, that was my either wiring, my personality, maybe something to do with upbringing as well. I just did not really need other people. All right, I was somewhat friendly, but again, I was the last guy that would come to a circle of people and interact in any way, shape, or form. Or if I went to that circle of people, I would be, because anything public speaking, forget it. I would be shaken that I would be put on the spot to pray. How do you pray? Like, how do you pray out loud with a group of people? You know, that I would be put on the spot to read something. I couldn't read very well. That I would be put on the spot to you know, what does this thing mean? And so I was the last guy, when I first trusted Christ, I was the last guy that would go to a life group. Because it's not me. That's just not my thing. But reading Scripture, after a bit, there's so many one another's. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I don't know, love one another, which takes time together to really get to know people. And so there's so many one another's in Scripture that and just the general teaching of the example of Jesus Christ and his life group and the apostles, and these were fishermen and whoever else that didn't, they probably weren't life group kind of guys, and yet they did this whole thing. You know, so I'm looking at all of this, I'm going, you know what, I need to put my personality up against Scripture. And I'm the one, not Scripture, I'm the one that needs to just bite the bullet and just go for it. What's the worst that could happen? And I'm hoping in most of our life groups, you never get put, you can attend any of our life groups, life group leaders, listen to me, you can attend any of our life groups and they will never put you on the spot. They're not going to ask you to read out loud, to pray, to do whatever, they're not going to go in a circle, you know, they're not going to do any of that kind of stuff, right, life group leaders? We don't put folks on the spot. You can attend for a year and never say anything. Just check it out, all right? So that's the kind of life group. Why do we want to do them that way? Because that's what I needed when I first trusted Christ or before I trusted Christ. I needed a group that was not going to be putting me on the spot for anything. But I needed a life group. And so, again, life, I get it. Life is easier if you just stay aloof. Kind of attend a big group gathering, sit in a pew, nobody's going to put me on the spot, and kind of just say hello to a few people, be friendly on the way out, and you're out of here. And I, that's me. I totally get that. That's easier. But we all bear the image of God, and because we bear the image of God, we're created to need other people in our lives in a very close way beyond just our immediate family. And if I could say, even animals, just look at nature, even like the Proverbs does, even animals know they need to group together, you know, in herds or whatever. Even bugs seem to know they need to group together, at least most bugs, as far as I know, seem to know that. Even, I mean, just take all the way down to subatomic particles. They even know, they're created to know, they need to bond together. And and form atoms, and atoms need to bond together and form molecules, and molecules need to bond together, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? So God's created this kind of need for bonding, and we, of all of God's creation, we're made in the image of God. We know we need others. But if you don't believe that, here's the line I really want you to believe, because it's true. Others need you. Let me say that again, because I know it's heavy and deep. Others need you. Well, I got nothing to offer. I'm not a theologian. Others need you. You might be a brand new believer. You might not be a believer. Others here need you. That's the way God has created us. I'm going to try to make a strong case for that with a few passages as we go. And so I'm just going to kind of follow the scripture you have in front of you. And all I'm going to do is kind of draw attention to a couple of main phrases. You got to take it home, read, study through the passage in context. First one I think you have listed is John chapter, you have a handout that looks like, a outline that looks like this. Okay, John chapter 13, and we've got these words in John chapter 13. Jesus said, "Wash one another's feet." What's that all about? This is right before he went to the cross. Jesus had a life group. Jesus could have said, "I don't need a life group." I think, right? Are we good with that? Jesus could have said, "I don't need a life group." And yet Jesus had a life group. He could have just lived on the mountaintop, came down, spoke to the multitudes, stayed aloof, went back to the mountain. You know, he could have done it that way, and he'd be fine, because he had a relationship with the Trinity. But he chose to have a life group. And when you think about those life group guys, the guys that he chose for his life group, they were continually confused. Now, you might be thinking about your life group right now, right? Okay. And if your life group matches this, it's cool. It's fine. These guys were continually confused. They had pride issues. They all wanted the best seats. Been in that life group before? They had personality conflicts. Some were, two of them were sons of thunder, others were quiet. I mean, they had different personalities. You read their writing styles. John is way different than thought than the other than some of the other guys. Politically, they had conflicts. Think of Matthew the tax collector and Simon the zealot. Matthew's a tax collector, he's a sellout to Rome. And or was, you know, and he left that, but he was a sellout to Rome. And then Simon was a zealot, which means he wanted to, you know, kill Roman soldiers. And a sellout would be the next guy you'd want to kill. And Jesus got them together in his life group. All right. So if you got political differences in your group, if you got confusion, if you got pride, if you got, it's cool. Jesus did it that way. All right. Which is maybe why some people are inviting you to their life group. All right, so Jesus says here in John 13, wash one another's feet. Now, what had just happened? They met in the upper room where they're going to have the Passover meal together. Then from here, Jesus is going to go to a garden. There he's going to be arrested and later hung on a cross. And he's preparing them to be the church he wants them to be. They're arguing about who is the greatest. Jesus washes their feet. And he says, you all need to be washing each other's feet. I gave you an example. You are blessed if you do life in this way. That's verse 17. Verse 14, you need to be washing one another's feet. By the way, in verse 10, he says, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you, for he knew the one who was betraying him. What's Jesus doing? He's taking this to a spiritual level. He's going, I'm doing a physical thing to teach you about a spiritual level of life. If you trust Christ, you're clean. You're forgiven. But as you go through life, your feet are going to get muddy. Stuff's going to happen. And you need, if you're going to be a church, you need to wash each other's feet. I'm not spiritualizing scripture. I'm doing exactly what the passage teaches us to do. Okay? It's a two-level kind of a passage, plainly. And so, at least what he's saying here is life together is messy, which was one of my main points. Life's easier if you stay aloof. Who wants to wash anybody's feet? And yet you need your feet washed and other people do as well. And that's part of the thing. We serve each other even if it's difficult, even if it's messy. Now, you're probably not going to be able to do that well in this kind of a gathering. Okay? We just don't have the time to interact with each other much. All right? So this is going to happen in some kind of a smaller group. Why do we have smaller groups? Because of all the one another's, including this one another, that's the only way that we're aware to be able to live out the one another's. So you're not going to do it here. You'll do it in small groups together. You'll take care of the point is you're ministering to each other, even if it's hard, even if it's messy. All right, next passage, John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment, this is in the same flow of thought, a new commandment I give you that you love one another, even as I have loved you. And that's the tough catch right there. Not just love one another, well, because we choose to love each other, we choose to love our enemies. And love is a choice, which means value. We choose to value each other. But he goes on to say, love one another, key word, one another, as I have loved you. What is love? It's valuing other people to the place where you sacrifice for them. What's the most valuable thing in your life, if you're like me? Your time. That's more valuable than your money, for most of us. Your time, and then your soul. To give of yourself is hard, but that's what love calls us to do. When Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you, there's no doubt but that in their mind, they're looking at their Lord and they're going, this guy didn't just come from a mountaintop periodically, give us some gifts and go back to the mountaintop. This guy gave us his heart and soul. He gave us his time. He's got a lot of stuff to do. He gave us himself. And so I got to ask myself, if I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, am I giving others myself and my time to be vulnerable and to grow in love with them? I dare you to meet with any group of these people in this church for several weeks and not fall in love with them. I dare you, because you will. You get to know the people in this church, as I do, you will fall, you spend a couple of weeks with them in these small groups, you'll fall in love with them. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. It's not just choosing to value, but it's a spending time together. And we can't do that in this kind of a gathering. We need small groups to be able to do that. Next passage, John chapter 17, verse 20 and following. We used this one last week. These initial passages are kind of thematic passages from Easter. I've referred to them a few different times, and they're going to get us rolling today. Jesus is praying in John 17, verse 20 and following, that we be one. He's talking about his church, and we talked about that, applying that to the persecuted church to somehow get connected with them, to grow in oneness with them, more than just the choice. And here we're going to apply it to this church, and if we're going to grow in oneness, this is unifying, this gathering, because we're hearing the same thing. We're going through a common teaching, a common experience. And so corporately, this is a unifying time. You need to be part of our worship gatherings. But I'm supposed to not say more importantly, but I keep wanting to say more importantly because I still believe it, even though I've been told it's not true. Equally as important is we need to be involved in small groups to grow in a deeper level of oneness than we're going to ever grow corporately as we meet together in a service like this. It just takes time to grow in that deeper level of oneness, even though, again, judicially, we are one. We're in Christ. If you're in Christ, I'm in Christ. The moment you trust Christ, you're one with Christ, and therefore we're one with one another. In the mind of God, that is absolutely true. But we want to be becoming who we are, and to be becoming who we are means we want to experience that depth of oneness. Verse 23, that we be perfected in unity. And again, that takes time together. We spent more time on that passage last week. I'll defer to that. Next passage, John chapter 21, verse 15. a thematic passage for Easter. Do you love me is the question that Jesus asked Peter after the resurrection. If the response is yes, then Jesus' response is, then take care of my lambs, tend to my lambs. Same question for us today. Do you love me? If you love me, know on a little bit deeper level, he doesn't say it here, but he said it prior to this, as you treat other believers, you're treating me. Think about that. And if I can go, well, I don't need other believers, and then that's not exactly the attitude Jesus wants us to have. I want to be in a small group because Jesus is in that small group. And it gives me a chance to love others and serve others on a level that's way deeper than anything that we'll ever experience in here. So the question about life groups really is, do you love me? Jesus says. If so, I want you to love each other. Tend to each other, meet each other's needs, and that happens in life groups. Next passage, now we're going to move beyond John, thematic stuff during Easter and following, into the book of Acts. This is the history after Jesus went back up into heaven. And this is the first snapshot we have of the early church, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 and following. They were continually, that's the believers that were taught by Jesus, they were in life group with Jesus for 3.5 years. Now they're leading the early church. 3,000 folks just get saved. How are they going to do church together? Here's how they became the church together right there in Jerusalem. People stayed there. They didn't go back to their homelands. They stayed right there in Jerusalem. They've got major problems and taking care of one another, but they're going to do it. And we have these words, verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Our life group leaders, if you remember, that's what they were interested in, going through the teaching of God's people. That's the Bible, all right? Over 40 different authors, but the apostles would be the New Testament, going through the teaching of Scripture. They were devoted to this teaching of Scripture. We think it's best phrase by phrase, verse by verse, in context. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. That's what we want our life groups to focus on, the apostles' teaching with practical application to each other's lives. To fellowship, koinonia, doing life together, sharing life over God's word. To the breaking of the bread. All four of these phrases have articles in front of them. Maybe that's the Lord's Supper, or maybe that's like verse 46. They were breaking bread house to house. Regardless, we're of the spiritual depth that we think food is always a great accompaniment of it for anything. Okay, just throwing it out there. All right. So doing food together, even snacks, is something that lends itself to connection over food, to fellowship over food, to sharing life together over food. There's something about that, certainly in the Jewish mind, to break bread was very conducive to being connected. All right, so they devoted themselves to teaching, to fellowship, just doing life together, to the breaking of the bread, which might be the Lord's Supper, but it certainly would include food. And then to prayer, they prayed together. This is what we want our lives, to this day, it's 2,000 years old, we want our life groups to look at these four. Are these part of our life groups? And they should be. Now, verse 46 said, how are they going to pull that off? First, like the fellowship thing. Verse 46 says, day by day they were continuing in one mind in the temple and breaking bread house to house. So how did they do life together as Jesus commanded them? Large group gathering, corporate unity in temple courtyards, large group teaching taking place there, and then as the church would expand, no doubt they would just find some kind of sizable enough venue where they could do this. But then on top of that, they were doing what? Breaking bread house to house. Breaking bread, that's a symbol of fellowship. They were fellowshipping together house to house. And they're going to learn together, the apostles' teaching in big group. They're going to learn together in small group as well. And in small group, they're especially going to emphasize the sharing of life together that you can't do well in a big group. All right? Verse 42 of chapter 5, by the way, gives us the same picture. Every day in the temple and from house to house. Large group, small group. And again, they didn't control the temple. They would just borrow space in one of the courtyards. They weren't running the temple, okay? They were kind of outcasts almost. It's kind of amazing they had any space at all that was given to them. But they would just grab a courtyard area, apparently, probably with some degree of permission, and use it as long as they could. So they're grabbing a big venue in the temple and then house to house. That's what they did. They kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Their focus was on Christ. Verse 20 of chapter 20 of the book of Acts, we have Paul giving us this model. He's talking to the elders in the church in Ephesus, and they've gathered together, and he's giving them some instruction before he goes to Jerusalem. So he's in a city called Ephesus in Turkey, and he says this to them. I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. That would be the fullness of God's word. And teaching you publicly and from house to house. So this public gathering, however they would do that, find some larger venue in some way, maybe even a field, publicly. And then also, though, house to house. So that seemed to be the general trend of how they would pull off all of these one another's. In Romans, I'm aware of the time, and we'll do a few more passages. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 and following, we have a warning that we shouldn't be thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought. Hello? Okay? I think I'm good. Me and Jesus, I'm good. That's a really, really arrogant statement, okay? That's a really arrogant thought. That's me, but it's an arrogant thought. I need to come to Scripture and go, you know, I'm thinking of myself a little more highly than I ought. I need other people. I need a small group network of other people speaking into my life and to which I can minister as well, all right? And he goes on to say in verse 4 of chapter 12 of Romans that we are members of one body. Thus, the title of this series on your the top of the page and on your sermon, your bulletin cover, to be healthy. What is the title of this thing? I don't even know. But anyway, it's oh, I can look around here. A healthy body. We're the body of Christ, and we want to be healthy. And this is how we can be healthy. And so this passage and the passage in 1 Corinthians 12, which you don't have down, so many passages, there's other passages as well, speak of us being a body. This is an image that is used. And we are the body of Christ. And so the body of Christ has different parts, but it functions as a body. And verse 6 says this, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. We need to exercise them accordingly. So God knows all about the universal church. He knows all about the local church as well. And God gives local churches different individuals, different gifts, and they want to come together probably in at least two ways. One would be a ministry team. That would be people of a like shape as you. A like heart, a like gifting, you know, a likeness to you in that, for example, we have people that love the persecuted church. We had them last week, that team of people, okay? They're not a life group, but they function a lot like that. They still spend time together. They pray together. They share together. They're in God's Word together. But as a group, they're focused primarily on what can we do to guide our church to help and minister to the persecuted church. Now, all of us have a heart for the persecuted. Not all of us are called to be on that team. Others have a heart for global missions or local missions, or as we had an offering today, the Mother's Day, the helping single moms and helping traffic people, and just the list goes on and on and on. Discipleship stuff here in the church, discipling children, just all different kinds of, and so we're given all these different guidances by God, And we want to follow those, and there'll be other people here that have a like thing. If you want to begin a ministry here, for example, we'll talk about it, and we're going to say yes, unless it's just like really weird. If it's somewhat weird, we're going to say yes, and then we'll put it out. And if other people have a similar a calling toward that thing, again, one that I really want to see started is a ministry to frustrated surfers. I think that's a huge need here, all right? And if God lays that on your heart, and he's laid it on other people's hearts, we get together, and if there's enough people to do the ministry, we launch a ministry to frustrated surfers, okay? That's the kind of stuff we want Jesus leading here. We want to stay out of the way and just cheerlead that. But there are ministries that are going, and those are listed online, and we'll be glad to help you understand those ministries. This passage goes on to speak of various types of gifts. Due to the clock, I'm not going to take us through these gifts. But people with these gifts need a venue to use these gifts. Let's take somebody who is an exhorter, or somebody who is a teacher, somebody who wants to serve other people, or somebody who wants to grow in leadership, or somebody who wants to show mercy. There's not a lot, those are some of the gifts listed in the passage, there's not a lot of ability to do that in this room. We need small groups to be able to live those things out. So again, two possible venues. One is a ministry team focused on that for the good of the church, the community, and the globe. The other is life groups where these different ministry gifts are operational. Both are important. Let me say it again. We just to be really plain, we invite everybody, number one, to be in a life group. Be participating in a life group. Number one, huge. We invite everybody, number two, to be part of a ministry team. And we're glad to guide you into what's going to best fit the way that God has shaped and gifted and called you. And then number three, we would like everybody to be involved or be part of a worship service for the sake of corporate unity. All right? We are at time, and so I'm going to send you home with the rest of the passages that are before you. You'll find in the passages, if you search them carefully, a number of one another's. You want to grade your life to go, is that happening in my life, this one another? These are commands, typically. These are commands to you and to me, and as your pastor, I am amiss if I do not point out that these are commands, and that we are accountable before the Lord to live out these commands, and it's for your good, it's for our good, and others, again, need you in their lives. That's just God's design. Does all that make sense? Okay, let's pray together. Oh, and right before we pray, again, if there's a little confusion, and I'm sure there is because I didn't have that much time and I wasn't so succinct as I should have been, please just contact us. Phone numbers of the elders are on the back. You have the office. You have emails. Please contact us and just go, I'm a little confused about all this, but I think God's laying it on my heart to make a step a little beyond just the participation in a worship service, all right? And we'll be glad to chat with you and get you going in the next step in your journey with Christ. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for this great privilege to be able to have gathered this morning, to have worshiped you in song, and worshiped you through the focus on these passages. Father, we pray that for each member of this church and each participant in this church, that in this journey you have us on together, that we would take the next step and become more in balance with the fullness of your word, which has so much to do with life together. Father, we pray for our life group leaders and those that they are mentoring in leadership, that you would bless them with tremendous growth and wisdom and the dynamics of running a small group and all that's involved. And Father, we pray for the members of these life groups, that you would grow them in wisdom, that they might step up as well and help with the various aspects that are part of the group, be it the forming of fellowship, the forming of evangelistic witness, helping to lead in scripture and prayer. Father, pray that you would bless the members in every way. And Father, for the rest of us, that you would guide us into appropriate participation in a life group. Thank you again for great grace toward this body and the privilege to do life together. Thank you for bringing us through what you brought us through so that others truly do need us, each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. What's going on with your life group?
My name is Benita Salduti, and I lead a ladies' life group on Sunday mornings after this fellowship. We meet in the last room on the right. And we're glad to have women of any and all ages join us.
For the sake of the sound guy, you gotta almost eat the microphone, otherwise it's crazy hard for him to control it. Okay.
Okay. Do all the women know where to go after here, after this gathering? Last room on the...
Keep it up to the
last
mouth.
Last room on the right. We are studying the book of Nehemiah. It's probably my most favorite book in the Bible. And even though Nehemiah was written like 900 and something BC, it's as relevant today as our nightly news. And there's so much to learn from the book of Nehemiah, from the man of Nehemiah. And our typical method of study is to start a book. We start with chapter 1, verse 1, and we go through and we look at the relevance of what's going on. We look at the political situation, their spiritual situation, their financial situation, socially, and we see how those things apply to our everyday lives, and they always do, as we have so much to learn about God and His plan for us through our scripture. And the benefit of a small group is that we get to know each other. We hold each other up in prayer. We encourage each other. Sometimes we cry together. We often laugh together. And it's just a beautiful thing to be part of a life group. You know you're going to have somebody that you can always call that will listen to you and pray with you and pray for you.
Okay, good. Thank you, Andrew Clinton. This is a life group for ladies, meets on Sunday morning following this gathering.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Andrew. I lead the young adults group down here in the basement. I didn't know that we were allowed to meet on the beach, so I might have to think about that. So we've been doing this group for about a year and a half now. We started out in the Gospel of John. That took us quite a while, almost a little more than a year, actually, because similarly, we go verse by verse. We start in the very beginning, and then we take our time. We try to really put ourselves there in the time, figure out, you know, what were things actually like? How can we relate to the people that we're reading about here? It's been very spiritually growing for me, and I think for everybody who's been coming. So I really just encourage anybody who hasn't come yet to come and check it out. And if I was ever the deterrent, I've actually stepped away from leadership just for a time period while we're expecting our next child in about a week. So we have some new leaders coming in, so don't let me deter you.
Excellent. So Benita and Andrew, you both seem to be most animated about time in God's Word together. That seemed to be, but you also share together, you pray with your group, you let folks participate over the Word, but in other ways as well. Uh-huh. But you get most animated over that verse-by-verse study, which we dig that. That's good. That's excellent. Go ahead, sir.
All right, so I'm Steve, and we actually me and my wife are going to be starting a new life group, and it's going to be a weekly or every other week life group, probably on Friday nights, and we're going to be focused on studying the Word, verse by verse, and I don't know what book of the Bible we're going to look at first. I think we're going to talk about that and decide when we get the group together, but we have multiple couples interested, and there's still more room. And we're not just looking at it as a Bible study. We really do want to look at it as a life group where it's joining in this community of support that goes on through the weeks, accountability, prayer, fellowship together that really just spurs us on to love each other more and to love God more and to really hit the priorities that God would have for us. So we're really excited about that. Can't wait to get that going. It's probably going to meet at my house, but I think we're also open to kind of bounce around to different people's houses. And then also I've been kind of tasked with mentioning another group that is going to be started, another young couples. I guess I could still call myself a young couple or in that category. But the Longs and the Smiths over here, and I believe Steve Pettit and his wife Sherry, they're going to be getting a group going as well. And I know they have some neighbors and things that do not know the Lord, and so they're going to be focused on kind of getting some of those people that need a community, need connection, and need the gospel. So they're excited about that group as well.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Thanks, sir. Good morning. If you can't understand me, I'm from Northern South Carolina.
Get that mic up there.
My northern friends have a little bit of difficulty understanding. I can see it in their eyes. It's, what'd he say? But we do a life group down here in the sanctuary. I don't know about these other guys, but the life group leader learns more than anybody else because you study it. But if you're going to ask me what we're doing, we're studying God. We just happen to be in the book of Matthew right now. And even this morning I was thinking about what's going on with this world? And it came to me that a finite mind is trying to dictate what an infinite mind has got planned. The only thing you can know about God is what he reveals to you through his word, not through what you think he ought to be. And I mean, we've got Christians that are mixed up, says, you know, well, I don't believe God does this. If his word says he does it, he does it. So anyway, but we invite you to come. We don't mind you opposing what I say. You can't make fun of me. I drove a truck for 46 years. I've been made fun of by the best. So just enjoy yourself. Thank you. Y'all have a good one.
All right.
Good morning. I woke up this morning to a telephone call that was from Howard and Bindi Payne, and they said they wouldn't be able to attend today and asked me would I be the Howard Payne, which I am right at this moment. We have the Payne Life Group. We're studying the book of Genesis. We started out with, in the beginning, God. And we're making our way through the beginning of life on earth. So we would like to extend an invitation for you to join us. We meet every Thursday evening at 7 o'clock at the Payne residence. And you would have to call the office to find out where that is. It's over in the Bradenton Beach area. They actually live in Cove Sound. So we're looking forward to having visitors, and we'd like to share the blessing that we have in our studies with anyone who would like to come. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And good morning again to you folks. I'm David Romberger, for those who don't recognize me. I facilitate two life groups. We're actually pretty much the same crowd. We call ourselves a biblically inspired name, the Cracked Pots. Think about that. And that's what we are. We are broken vessels coming together to glorify God and to bask in the fellowship that we have among each other. We meet on Sunday after service. That's a fairly intensive theological-oriented study. We've been in the book of Genesis. You'll notice a lot of Old Testament references in these study groups. That's good. We've been in the book of Genesis a year and a half, maybe 2 years. We call it Genesis, a book for today, because if you get into the beginning of Genesis, you're going to be amazed at how this culture has cast aside God's created order and his wisdom in our lives. We're taking a divergence right now. After 2 years, we're into 1 John, another heavy book, but a beautiful book. And if anybody would like to visit us, we're upstairs in the library building, room of the fellowship building. We also meet on Monday evenings. We just can't get enough of each other on a Sunday morning, so we meet on Monday evenings. That's a little bit lighter in its context. We are watching a DVD series. The name of the series is That the World May Know. It's a wonderful series because a very, very capable pastor, I think from Michigan, Ray Vanderland, takes us to the Bible lands with a small group of people, and we actually experience the geography and somewhat of the culture of those areas, which fill out and round out what we read in the Bible. Extremely interesting and extremely helpful in us understanding the nuances of the Bible. You are welcome. We meet at my house at 6:30 in the evening. We are truly a fellowship, and I mean that. I've realized, and I've stepped back and taken a look at our group. It was just an ad hoc group to start with. Most of us are old-timers like me. Many of us have come down from the north for some reason. They don't seem to want to go back to the north, and so they're making a permanent camp in Manatee County, which is fine, but we have developed a true love affair with each other, I think. I think the others would vouch for that, and we're not ashamed to use the word love. We really care for each other, and we share with each other, and we uplift each other. It's a beautiful thing to see. So I think we're moving in the right direction as far as a home group. And you're welcome to join us on a Monday if you'd like sometime. We also have a little food to entice people. So that's our group, the Crackpots, Sunday and Monday. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Did we miss anybody that cannot physically make it up that's leading a life group? I'm sorry, what's that?
Yeah.
I'd be glad to do that. Wayne is physically not able to be here because he's with the children right now, and the guy that was supposed to be presenting for him had a dental issue, which we could resolve here, but nonetheless. Wayne is studying Thessalonians. Is that what he told me? 1 Thessalonians. Anyway, Wayne is a great expository teacher, one of the best that I've been around. Solid exposition, but people enter in the discussion as they work through God's Word. Word by word, phrase by phrase, verse by verse, passage by passage. And you noticed here, the majority, basically, of y'all, there might be a few groups not represented right now, are working through Scripture in a verse by verse style, but with practical application and with people being able to enter in with suggestions on what it means, how it's applied, with questions and the like, testimony. To God's Word. And so it's an interactive time, but you're focusing it primarily, and I think most of our groups do that even aren't represented here, focusing it primarily on just a in-context, verse-by-verse type of study. And I appreciate that. I think that makes this church really, really solid. This, if you're a guest here, this is a very, very biblically solid church, relationally solid church. And I believe the reason is our small groups, teaching each other verse by verse. On top of these groups, by the way, and y'all can stay here or y'all can go back to wherever. These are the good seats right here. You'd pay big money to get these seats normally. So it's up to you. You can go back to your seats or you can stay right here. I might bounce some stuff off you, off of you as you go, and that will get everybody to leave right there. On top of these, we do have prayer gatherings, which we very much appreciate. We have periodic classes that meet as well that'll go over, say, systematic theology or hermeneutics or something like that, some basic study. It'll last for however long the class is and then disband. And there's probably some other gatherings as well. There's one-on-one or really, really small group discipleship going on. In any way that you want to grow and learn God's Word, please let us know. You have response cards, sheets in the bulletins, and you also have our phone numbers are plastered everywhere. Please call any of the elders about anything that you desire. If there's a class that you want to take and you're not sure where it's happening or if it's even happening, give us a call. If we get enough response to a given topic or whatever it might be, we want to be able to offer that.